the word today. Today we continue a series that we kicked off last week, and the series is entitled Misquoted, Did God Really Say That? Like there are things that you hear within culture, maybe from some friends or from some loved ones, and they say something as if God said it, but the reality is God never said it. I mean, people say it with confidence, like it is in the book of Romans, right? Like they are confident it is in the Bible. God definitely said this, but you open up your Bible and it's just not there. God didn't say it. And it's important for us to do a series on this because when we believe things that God never said, we start missing what God is actually saying. And we want to hear what God is actually saying, not things that we think God probably might have potentially said. You see, misquoting God leads to misunderstanding God. And if the enemy can't get you to reject God, he'll settle for you believing the wrong things about God. And we see this in the Bible all the way back to the beginning of time in Genesis 3. In the beginning, the serpent shows up and says to one question to Adam and Eve, did God really say that? I mean, the serpent, Satan, didn't deny God. He distorted the words of God. The enemy doesn't need to remove truth. He just needs to slightly twist it. So in the series, we're going to expose some common phrases that people think are biblical, and we're going to replace them with what God actually said. Because I don't want to build my life on something that sounds like God. I want to build my life on something that is God. So in this series, we're going to call out some things that have been misquoted. Last week, we kicked off the series talking about baptism. And we asked this question, do you have to be baptized to be saved? And that is a common thing tossed around. There are even denominations that will not believe that you are saved unless you have been baptized in the waters. So do you have to be baptized to be saved? So we talked about, is baptism necessary for salvation? But we learned that baptism is not a requirement of salvation. It is the result of our salvation. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved. It's what saved people do. It's what we as believers do. And we talked about how we identify with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That Easter message, right? That we died with Christ. That's us getting into the baptism. I'm saying the old is gone. I'm embracing the new. I have died with Christ on that cross. I died with him up there. And then when I'm going under, I am burying my sin in the ground. I'm putting my flesh in the ground. I had a tombstone up here. Like this is what we're doing, is saying the old life is back there. In order for me to go backwards, I got to trip over my corpse to get there. I died to that way of living. I died to my sin. How can I go back in any longer? And then I'm raised to walk a new life. I am resurrected with Jesus to walk the new life that he has for me. That is what we talked about. So it's what we get to do. Today, I'm talking about another misquote, and here it is. Y'all are going to love this one. God just wants me happy. Happy, happy, happy. You're probably not going to like what I'm going to say because it sounds wrong. It feels offensive, right? But what if I told you God's highest priority for your life is not your happiness? It's not your comfort. It's not meeting your desires or your preferences. For some people, that statement will mess your entire view of God. Because if happiness becomes the goal, then God becomes the means to which I accomplish my goal. Amen. And when that happens, we stop following God and we start using God. That's where we're going today. So if you're taking message notes, the title of the message today is this right here. God just wants me happy. God just wants me happy. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. May it correct us, may it train us, may it teach us, and may we learn today this misquote that you just want me happy. What is the truth? So, Father, would you speak to us today? We love you. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God just wants me happy, doesn't he? Doesn't God just want me happy? Like, that sounds right. That feels good. And honestly, we believe it. Like, God just wants me. Actually, let me show it to you in the Word of God. Let me prove it to you. Psalm 97:12. May all who are godly, say it, be happy. Doesn't that just feel good? Like, God wants you happy. That makes me feel so good. I just want to dance. come on. There's always one or two. I got one. I'm happy now. I'm happy. Me and Rahel danced. All right, I'm happy. You see, if that was embarrassing, I know, but if we're not careful, that one idea will completely distort the way that you and I see God. Because if happiness is our goal, then God now becomes my servant to make me happy. You see, a God who exists to serve you is no God at all. And that's where this message starts to break down a little bit, because what sounds innocent, God wants me happy, actually begins to reshape my faith worldview. And without even realizing it, you stop asking, God, what can I do for you? And you begin to ask, God, why aren't you giving me what I want? Amen. Happiness makes a terrible God. Because what feels right in the moment can destroy you in the long run. And we built an entire culture around chasing our feelings. Hey, do what makes you feel right. Do what makes you feel happy. Follow your heart. What does that mean? But the problem is that your feelings were never meant to lead your life. You see, God is not committed to your comfort. He is committed to your transformation. Because the moment following Jesus gets uncomfortable, like the moment that it begins to cost you something, the moment it begins to stretch you in an uncomfortable way, if your belief is God just wants me happy, then you'll start to question God in those moments. Like, of course. Like, I'm questioning God because I'm uncomfortable, or even worse, maybe I'm going to walk away from him. Because if your faith only works when life works, it's not faith at all. And this is where so many people get stuck in their journey with God. They didn't walk away because God wasn't real. They walked away from God because God didn't give them what they wanted. Because God doesn't exist to fulfill your desires. He exists to transform your desires. You don't follow Jesus to get what you want. He's not a genie in a bottle. You follow Jesus to become who he's calling you to be. So today I'm going to do my best to tear this down. Because if you build your life on the wrong belief about God, you'll come to the wrong conclusion about your life. I'm going to show you this clearly today. What happens when we believe the lie that God just wants me happy? We start beginning a new theology around our feelings instead of our faith. So let me give you a few statements. Maybe this resonates with some of you. But it's this idea that God just wants me happy. Maybe you've heard this statement. If it makes me unhappy, it must be wrong. We begin to believe this. If it makes me unhappy, it must be wrong. Like, surely God wants me happy, right? God doesn't want me unhappy. He doesn't want me miserable. So this must not be God. And what this is in front of me that makes me not happy must be bad for me. So I'm going to reject it. Here's another one. If it makes me uncomfortable, it must be wrong. Like if there is any discomfort in this, if there's any delay, any risk, any suffering, any inconvenience, then surely this can't be God, because God wants me comfortable, doesn't he? Don't answer that question, okay? It's true questions. Here's a third one. If it's hard for me, it can't be God. Like, shouldn't life be easy? Carefree, pleasurable, with no resistance. God wants me to live an easy life, doesn't he? And now, without even realizing it, we've stopped letting God define our truth, and we started letting our feelings define our truth. And when that happens, you start bowing down to a new God, the God of comfort, the God of money, the God of pleasure, the God of ease, the God of happiness. And the scary part is, we call it Christianity. Because God wants that. But it's not. Because we didn't walk away from God, we just remade God into our own image. A God now who agrees with everything that I want. A God who affirms what I'm feeling. and what I want. A God who exists to make my life easier. I have now created a God in my own image, based upon my own feelings. But that's not the God of Scripture. That's a God that we created. See, if the point of life was our happiness, then God would exist to serve us. But the reality is that He does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve Him. Amen. And here's the problem. If we believe that God exists to serve us, then we reduce God into a cosmic vending machine. Now listen, I love Diet Coke. I don't know. Is anybody else down for the aspartame? You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I don't know why people want to judge us. I'm hearing, thank you. I see you in the back. I'm hearing boos from Pastor Dustin, Mr. CrossFit over here, okay? We meet all the time, and I will drink a Diet Coke, and he drinks egg whites. Like, that's what... I am enjoying my life far more than he is, okay? I don't judge him for that, but he judges me for the aspartame, okay? Listen. So if I just want to piss off Dustin, I'll go to a vending machine and I'll get a Diet Coke, right? I'll put some money in, right? And I press the Diet Coke and a Diet Coke comes out and I get a Diet Coke and I get to make Dustin mad, right? That's the deal, right? That is the deal. I put money in, I select what I want, it comes out, I get to enjoy it. That's the deal between me and the vending machine, right? This is how we view God, but this is not God, okay? You don't walk up to God, insert a little obedience, maybe some church attendance, you know, a little prayer here, a Bible verse here, and then press the blessing button, right? And a blessing comes down and you get it. That's the agreement between me and God, right? Like, you expect your life to come out exactly how you want it. Like, God, I did the right things. I stayed out of trouble. I showed up. I gave. I served. And now you owe me. You got to come through on this. You got to come through on the relationship that I want, the job that I want, the outcome that I want, because I did this for you and now you owe me. And that's not faith, that's control. Amen. I was trying to manage God instead of surrendering to God when we are called to surrender to Him, not manage Him. But here's the issue. What happens when life doesn't deliver what you ordered? When the prayer that you prayed did not get answered by God the way that you wanted it to get answered? That door wasn't opened. When things fall apart instead of coming together? The result is, it didn't happen the way that I wanted it, so because it did not happen that way, I am not happy. And now the problem, I begin to question God. You didn't give me what I wanted, in the time that I wanted it, the way that I wanted it. Now I'm questioning if you're a good God or even exist. Where were you, God? Why didn't you come through on this? I did my part. And God, I'm not happy. Why did you let me down? This is your fault. But you see, the problem was never God. The problem was the belief that He existed to serve you and to make you happy in the first place. And because of that, so many people end up walking away from God, not because God failed them, but because the foundation of their faith was flawed from the beginning. This is, I think, what most of the church, I'd say most, I'm getting there, becoming less optimistic. This is not a good thing as a pastor. I think most people's faith is watered down, sanitized, American version of Christianity, that God just wants them happy. I need to filter. I need to not go there right now, okay? I got a message to preach. I can't go there. Okay. This is a dangerous thought. Because if that is your belief, then the moment that you are not happy, you point the finger at God and assume that God failed. But God, let me start out by saying this. God is not against your happiness, okay? God is not sitting in heaven trying to ruin your life. Although some people think He is, right? He delights when His children experience joy. He delighted watching Rahel dance right there and me make a fool of myself, all right? And listen, as a dad, I get this. My daughter, Selah, is she plays keeper for LTFC, plays select soccer, and I was a keeper in college, and I love soccer, and so that's just what my daughter and I, you know, connect on. And I mean, we're serious. Like we practice all the time. We watch film. Like it's the real deal. And so we had a game yesterday. You should see me. I am the dad pacing up and down the sidelines. Most of the parents are in the middle. I'm at the goalie, wherever the goalie's at, because that's where my daughter is, and I'm watching her, right? I'll get behind the goal and coach her from behind. You're not allowed to do that, but I'll do it. I'm that dad. And so when my daughter makes a save, like I'm cheering her on. It's so fun, right? I am so happy. She's happy. She made a save. And at the end of the game, she'll come over and be like, "Dad, you see that save? Did you see what I did there?" And I'm like, "Yes, that's awesome." As a dad, I love to see my daughter happy. However, let's just say that my daughter makes the game-winning save. Okay, let's say we go to PKs and it's the game-winning save. She wins. And instead of her coming over and say, "Dad, you see my save," she goes over to the opposing team sideline and flips them off, right? Let's just say she's like, "Yes, right, you know, like suckers, you know, whatever," right? So she talks some trash, flips them off, does something totally crazy, which is totally uncharacteristic of my daughter. When I was playing soccer, that probably would have been what I would have done, but not my daughter, okay? I'm different now. I'm changed. Thank you, Jesus. As a dad, okay, I am focused not on my daughter's happiness, but on her character. If I see my daughter do that, instantly the way that I need to speak with her changes. Because as a dad, my highest priority is not her happiness. I delight in her happiness, but I'm committed to who she's becoming. And if I, as a flawed father, understand that, how much more does God? God doesn't want you to pursue your own happiness. He wants you to pursue Him. Because God's not a means to an end. God is the end. His presence is the goal. His will is our aim. You don't pursue Him so He gives you what you want. That's using God, not glorifying God. God doesn't mind you being happy, but it's not His highest priority for your life. He doesn't want you to pursue your own happiness. He wants you to pursue Himself. And in Him, you'll actually find the things that matters the most, just how it works. So what I want to do today is break this down a little further, because it's not just theology. I believe it's supposed to be practical for us. And if you get this wrong, you'll make the wrong decisions. You'll justify the wrong things. You'll walk away from the right things that God wants for you. But if you get this right, this will change how you live. This will change how you follow Jesus. So let me show you where this breaks down, okay? I'm going to give you 2 points today. I'm going to give you 2 examples of when God is not concerned with your happiness and why, okay? Two times that God is not concerned with your happiness and why. Here's the first thing. God doesn't want you happy if it leads you away from Himself. It's the reason why God is not concerned with your happiness. If God doesn't want you happy if it leads you away from Himself. Just because it feels good doesn't mean that it's God. In fact, studies show that over 90% of the decisions that people make on a daily basis are driven by emotion rather than logic. Emotions are terrible leaders. They're real, they matter, but they were never meant to lead or dictate your life. Because your feelings will tell you one thing in the moment and completely ignore what's coming next. They could care less about the future. And we see this play out all the time, even within our lives. For me, I confess my love for Diet Coke, but listen, I'm almost 40, and life is punching me upside the face, okay? Like, my body is starting to break down, okay? And I know you're so young. I get it. All right, I get it. Yeah, okay. That doesn't mean mine's not, okay? Yours might be as well, but mine is too, okay? Relax. Yeah, it's the Diet Coke, okay? But listen. I'm the kind of guy, I will do whatever, usually for a laugh. Like, if I would crowd surf right now just because I thought it was funny, or I'll jump off the stage and try to do a backflip. I'm just that kind of guy. I will throw my body out there, usually for a laugh, okay? And I need to stop doing that because it's starting to hurt. We were on the boat with some friends a couple years ago tubing, and I'm like, oh, you can't hurt me. Let's go, baby. Find the biggest wave you can and throw me into it. My buddy threw me into that. I hit the water so hard, I lost my breath. I broke a rib. I'm starting to go, you're not as young as you think you are, you know? Like, I am at that stage. I know everyone says you get there. I am at that stage currently, okay? But here's what I'm learning, okay? What felt fun in the moment almost caused real damage to my life. Why? Because I didn't think about the future. I didn't see what was coming. And that's the problem with sin. It always hides the ending. It just wants you right now. It won't tell you what's around the corner. The Bible says there's a way that appears to be right, but it leads to death. Your feelings are incapable of seeing the full picture, but God does. And this is where we have to trust God, not our feelings, but our faith. Because there are things right now that feel right to you that you will regret later. There are things that feel good that will lead to destruction later. But God, in His goodness, will not bless what leads you to harm. That's why the scripture says this in 1 Peter 1:15, but just as he who called you is holy, here's our goal, so be holy in all you do. God is not primarily focused on your happiness. God is focused on making you holy. Because happiness is a feeling, it's an emotion that will fade, but holiness, it transforms. Happiness is temporary. Holiness is forever. Happiness is based upon what is happening. Holiness is based upon who you are becoming. And this is where it gets real for us, because we've created a culture where happiness is the highest authority. You just got to be happy. If I'm not happy, it's probably not God. So as a pastor, I do a lot of weddings. And one of the things that I do in weddings is I require premarital counseling. And this is something that I wrestle with, I struggle with, okay? Looking at my pastors here too. This is something I wrestle with. I've done a lot of weddings. And there are couples that I have married that have gotten a divorce. I struggle with that. Like, I kind of blame myself. I really do. Did I not do a good job? I struggle with it. And I have encountered those people before, after the divorce. And I say, hey, what happened? What happened? And this is always the response. I just wasn't happy anymore. I do a lot of marital counseling. The couples that are ready to throw in the towel and get a divorce. And when we counsel them, we ask them, what is going on? They are ready to throw in the towel, to leave this person forever. And when we ask them why, they say, we're not happy anymore. Like a lack of happiness has become a justification for divorce. So when happiness leaves, we automatically think that the commitment is over. It's over. I'm not happy anymore. Commitment, void. The promise doesn't matter. The covenant that I made before God doesn't matter anymore. I'm just not happy. And somehow that's our justification. But feelings, they fluctuate. And covenant was never built on feelings. Covenant was built on a commitment, on faithfulness. Covenant was built on something deeper than how you feel in this present moment. And this is what happens when we elevate happiness over everything else. We start calling things that are right, right, that God calls wrong. We start justifying things that we want because it makes us happy, but we used to resist them because we knew it was sin. We start following our feelings instead of following Jesus. You can't follow both. And I just want to take the liberty for a moment to speak into some marriages today. Because some of you are contemplating walking away from a covenant, not because of abuse or unfaithfulness or any biblical grounds for divorce. You're thinking about walking away just because you're unhappy. Listen, you stood before God and you made a covenant for better or for worse. It's worse. For rich or for poor, sick and health. That wasn't built on feelings, that was built on a promise. Feelings fluctuate, but covenant, it will outlast your feelings. If you continue to seek Jesus together, you can walk through the worst. You can walk through the worst of the worst and get back to the better. But you don't walk away because you're simply unhappy. And this doesn't just show up in marriage. We see this everywhere. People justify doing things that they know are wrong because it makes them happy. Think about this for your own life. Listen, I will sit down and eat an entire gallon of Bluebell ice cream with a Diet Coke. Just kidding. But listen, just go with it, okay? Maybe a pint. Because it made me happy, right? I will hammer some Bluebell ice cream, right? Because it makes me happy. But even though it made me happy, I regret it later. It was not wise, right? Think about it for your own life. Your spouse isn't meeting your needs, so you turn to pornography. Well, I'm going to get what I want from somewhere, and because I can't get it from them, I'm going to do it here because it makes me happy. You're justifying something that you know is wrong. What about some premarital sex? Like, I know what the Bible says, but we love each other. That's got to mean something, right? We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. It feels right in the moment. Well, feelings don't make anything right. Amen. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's God. Even in that which we watch and that which we entertain. Like, we'll put something on and go, man, this is filthy. This is raunchy, but it's funny, you know? And I'm going to watch it. It makes me happy. So we laugh at things that dishonor God and we call it harmless because it entertained us. Some of us go around, we watch things, we read things, we get on certain apps, we engage in things that completely contradict your beliefs just because you want to be happy in the moment. So here's my, okay, go for it, okay? Listen, okay? Just go for it. Go to the movie. Sit down, enjoy that filthy movie, just pretend I'm right next to you, okay? Just do it. Next time you're there, just I'm right here, okay? I'm going to lean over and say, hey, can I have some popcorn? I'm going to eat it. Go, ha, doesn't this make me happy? You know, aren't you happy? God doesn't want you happy when it leads to something that is unwise or wrong. All right, so here's the first thing. God doesn't want you to be happy if it leads you away from himself. Here's the second thing. God doesn't want you happy if it's built on something that won't last. Because anything you build your life on that can disappear will eventually leave you empty. And this is where our culture consistently is doing its best to shape us and form us. Every day, you are being told what you need to be happy. You need more stuff. You need better experiences. You need the right people. You need more money. You need to look a certain way. You need some Botox, all right? You need all of that. See, I got it right now. And if you can just get all that together, then you'll finally be happy. But here's the problem. We are the most entertained generation in all of history, and yet we're still the most anxious. Yeah. We have more access, more comfort, more convenience, and less peace. Why? Because the world can stimulate you, but it cannot satisfy you. Yeah. Scripture says it this way, 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. You see, the world has an equation for happiness, and here it is right here. Check the screens out. It says this: better possessions, peaceful circumstances, thrilling experiences, right relationships, and perfect appearance equals happiness. That's the equation. So we keep chasing it. We keep upgrading. We keep scrolling. We keep buying. We keep comparing. And we keep trying to solve the equation, and we still come up empty. Because the world offers you something that looks real, but it's not. It's an imitation. My son and I have recently picked up a new hobby, and we collect baseball cards. This is, I did not know how much fun this would be. My son and I, like, are loving this hobby. I am losing so much money, but I'm talking to my friends, they're like, you're just paying for an experience with your son. That's how I'm looking at it, okay? So we're going to card shows, went to a card shop yesterday, just been fun. We buy and sell online. We're starting to sell them and trade them and all that fun stuff, okay? So we're learning what things are worth and getting into it. So my son and I are online, and it's this app that they do live auctions, and someone showed up a autographed Michael Jordan basketball card. I didn't even care the price. I bought that sucker, right? I'm just like, I'm buying that. I want an autographed MJ, okay? That card comes in the mail. That's a fake. This is the card I bought. I thought it was a real autographed Michael Jordan. Turns out it was a fake. And the more I've learned, these things go for like millions of dollars. I didn't spend, it was like 20 bucks. Okay, I should have known better. I probably should have known better. I told you I'm learning the biz, all right? I thought it was real. It's a fake autograph, an imitation of the real thing. That's the world's version of happiness. It looks like the real thing. It promises the real thing. But once you get it, you're disappointed. It's not the real thing. That's why so many people feel empty. Even when their life looks full, their Instagram looks amazing, looks like they have everything that the world offers, they still feel empty. Something's missing. Because you were never created to fulfill or be fulfilled by the world. God doesn't want you building your life on things that will not sustain you. Because money will disappear. People can leave. Feelings can change. Circumstances can shift. But when your life is built on Him, you have something that the world can't take away from you. God doesn't want you chasing happiness that's tied to temporary things, because He has something better for you, something deeper, something that actually lasts. You see, God does not want you happy if it leads you away from Him, and God doesn't want you happy if it's built on something that won't last. And so we turn. We understand God doesn't just want us happy. He wants something more for you. What is that more? And I want to tell you today, God doesn't want you happy as much as He wants you, here it is right here, as much as He wants you blessed. But here's the problem. We've defined blessing wrong. The church has royally screwed up this, and I think TV evangelists have totally murdered this word blessing, right? We think blessing means that everything goes my way, nothing goes wrong, I get a jet airplane, God says yes to everything that I ask. Well, that's not blessing. The word Scripture uses, check this out, for the word blessing is makarios. 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 Doesn't that word sound familiar? I'm in a mood today, y'all. I gotta be honest. I don't know what it is. Macarios. It's a fun word. I like doing the Macarena, right? It's fun, but Macarios means something deeper. It's not just about being happy, which the Macarena makes you. It makes you happy. Someone between the service says, it sounds like margaritas, you know? It's like, I guess that makes you happy. Okay, anyways. But the word is not just happy. but blessed beyond circumstances. Makarios means, check this out, supremely blessed. It literally means more than happy, deeper than happy, stronger than happy. Happy when circumstances don't make you happy, but you're happy still. Because when I tell you that God wants you blessed, that doesn't mean that you won't get sick, that you won't lose something, that life won't hit you hard. That doesn't mean that you won't walk through pain or through trials or through disappointment. But it does mean this, that in the middle of a storm, you still have peace. You could be on trial today and still have joy in your heart. Scripture says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Because God is doing something in you. This is what he's doing. He's forming something in you. He's producing something in you that actually matters and actually lasts. Some of you, right now, you're in the middle of that. A trial, a season, a wilderness, a valley. And everything in you is saying, I am not happy. What's your problem, God? Where are you, God? But listen to me, God is not absent in your pain. He is present in it. Some of you feel weak today, emotionally drained, spiritually emptied, physically exhausted. I can't do this anymore, God. And you're thinking, man, God, you let me down. No, at your weakest moment, you experience the strength of God, because when you are weak, he is strong, the Bible tells us. And sometimes you hit the very bottom. And it is in that moment of your lowest valley that you experience the presence of God in a way that you never have before. And anybody who's ever gone through that season, I have, you look back and say, I would never have chosen that for me, but I wouldn't trade it for the world because of what it did in me. You may be in a storm right now that you didn't see coming, you didn't expect it. Everything feels like it's just falling apart. But then you seek God and you suddenly experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Can't explain it, but you know it's real. God wants you blessed. That doesn't mean that you won't have difficult days. It means you'll never have a day without his presence. And that is better than happiness. It's deeper than happiness. Psalm 37:4 says, delight. I love that word. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So we can read that and think, well, if I follow God, he's going to give me whatever I want. New car on the way. Promotion on the way. Everything lining up just how I planned it. No, that's not what it means. The word delight, it means to enjoy, to lean into. And even deeper than that, I love this meaning. It means to be made soft, to be shaped, to become pliable. In other words, when you fully trust and truly seek God, when you're in the Word of God and you're in the presence of God, God then becomes your highest pursuit. And when that happens, something starts happening in you. You're being formed. You're being shaped. You are being what the Bible calls conformed into the image of Christ. You begin to think differently, begin to see differently. Listen, you shouldn't see the same way your neighbors sees. You should not be pursuing and comparing for the same things that your neighbors do. You see it from a different perspective than they do. And this is the shift. God doesn't just give you what you want. Listen to this. God gives you new wants. He doesn't give you what you want. When you are in his presence and you pursue the Lord, he gives you new wants. It's not my will anymore. It's his will that's now been planted inside of me, and I want what God wants. So now, you're not asking God to bless your plans and give you what you don't have. You're aligning your life with His. And when your heart begins to reflect His heart, when your desires begin to match His desires, now He gives you the desires of your heart, because your heart now wants what He wants. And that kind of life is better than happiness. Because happiness is based upon what is happening, feelings, emotions. But this is transcending what is happening. Even when life is hard, even when things don't go your way, you can still have peace. Because it's not built on your circumstances, it's built on God. I'll give you one final picture as I close here, but take the latest iPhone, okay? It's not this one, but let's just say it is, okay? Top of the line iPhone, perfect condition, fully charged, like this phone is awesome, got the best cameras, okay? Now take that phone and throw it into Lake Travis. Does it work for you? No. Not even because it's broken, but because it's in the wrong environment, the middle of the lake. Now, let's just say, okay, I need some upgrades, okay? I'm going to upgrade this phone. I'm going to put the best case on this phone. I'm going to upgrade the memory. I'm going to get another camera on this phone, okay? Throw it into the lake. Does it work still? No. Because it wasn't created for that environment. You can upgrade your life all you want, but if it's in the wrong place, it will never function the way that it was designed. That's you and I. Some of you think something's wrong with you because nothing in this world satisfies you. You've tried more money, you've tried more success, you've tried more experiences, you've tried more relationships, and you still feel empty at the end of the day. You're not broken. You're just trying to find life in the wrong environment. Amen. You were not created for this world. You were created for God. The Bible says that we're created for eternity. Like this literally is not your home, the Bible says. You're just passing through. But yet we want to put paintings on the wall and we want to settle into this home that's temporary. I don't settle into hotel rooms. I try to get the heck out of there. That's this life. We worship God while we're here, but we don't make a God out of it. So my encouragement to you this morning is to stop lowering your life to what this world offers. Stop chasing temporary happiness and start pursuing eternal purposes. Because when you seek God, when you delight in Him, when He becomes the object of your affection, everything changes. You wake up and say, God, I want to glorify You today. I want what You want today. I want to walk by the Spirit, not my feelings today. Give me the mind of Christ today. I want my life to matter today. That's why I pray the Lord's Prayer every morning. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. I want what You want. Your will to be done, not mine. And suddenly, when you do that, you find something that's better than happiness. You find the blessing of God. Because God may delight in your happiness, but it's not His priority of your life. He wants you blessed. So I started my message with this verse right here, Psalm 97:12, but I didn't finish it. May all who are godly be happy. But that's not the end. Here's what it finishes saying. May all who are godly be happy and praise His holy name. And that's my prayer for you, Zao Church, that you wouldn't settle for the temporary happiness, but you would find something greater. Because when you delight in Him, He will then give you the desires of your heart. When you seek first the kingdom of God, everything that actually matters will be added unto you. Can I pray for you? God just wants me happy. That's the misquote. He wants you holy. He wants to bless your life. I want you to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit what He's saying to you through this message. What is your takeaway? What does God want out of you in this? Just take a moment and see what He says. Thank you. Father, forgive us when we make this life out to be all about ourselves, our pleasures, our desires, our happiness, God. Forgive us for that. You're not a cosmic vending machine. You're not a genie in a bottle. You are a God who's to be revered and worshiped. We want what you want, Father. Change our heart and desires to line up with what you want and what you say in the Word of God. Thank you for correcting this in us today, Lord. And I just want to take a moment and ask if you've never made a decision to trust Jesus, if I could pray for you today. There's got to be a moment in your life where you say, God, it's not about me, it is about you. I turn from my ways, I repent of my sin, and I choose to follow Jesus. There's got to be a moment in your life where you do that. And if you've never done that, I want to lead you in that today. Right where you're at, pray this to God. Say, God, today I repent of my sins and I come to Jesus. Save me. Change me. Make me new today. I take on the faith of Jesus and I live the life that you died to give me. I'm changed from this day forward. I'm a believer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer?